It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We drop in now on preparations for the Berkey next month. Skiers start at the American Birkebeiner Trailhead in Cable, ski their way through the gorgeous forested landscape, finishing in Hayward's Main Street. It's a treasured ski race started in 1973. Join in with your questions about the Berkey preparations. Your stories welcome 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ben Popp is executive director of the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation. Ben, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with conditions because we got the massive winter storm that hit Wisconsin and the nation last month. And I'm looking out the window now at rain. What are snow conditions like in northern Wisconsin?
You know, as I like to say, all it does is snow up here in the Northwoods. No, we are really, really fortunate right now to have some amazing early winter conditions. You know, that early snowstorm that we got brought just some heavy, wet snow that was a really great base. And, you know, interestingly enough, we've had some record numbers of skier up here in the Northwoods over this Christmas holiday week because the conditions are just so good. Now, it is creating some issues. It certainly, that heavy, wet snow closed a lot of trails, trees down, and those sorts of things. But now, as it starts to get opened up and we're seeing even more snow coming, thank you for continuing to send it our way. the conditions are just absolutely fabulous for cross-country skiing in northern Wisconsin right now.
When you say a record number of skiers, is that in your trail system? How many are you seeing?
Yeah, and that is in reference to up here on the Berkey Trail. You know, when we look at the trail pass sales, people buying a trail pass to go out and ski both daily and for a year-wise, November and December were record numbers for us. And interestingly enough, a lot of times that's when we start to see sort of these really dedicated skiers, they're training and those sorts of things. This year, it was actually very different. We're seeing a lot of first-time skiers out on the trail, families coming out and trying it. And so that for us is really exciting that, you know, this time early in the year, whether they got a package of skis for Christmas or they pulled them out of the garage and dusted them off, it's really, really exciting to see the growth of the sport taking place.
You know, it's great where you are, but the Berkey brings in people from all over the state and the world. You know, what about the people who have lost snow and are training for the Berkey? How might the lack of snow where they are in other regions affect training for this year's race?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that you mentioned that. You know, skiing has changed a lot in the last decade, actually, as weather and climate continue to change. Less and less people have snow out their backyard. And interestingly enough, if you look in the U.S., cross-country skiing is most popular in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And you would say, well, what in the heck? And it's partly because they have a large population center with snow and a lot of snowmaking venues. You know, the sport, it's great that we have a ton of snow up in northern Wisconsin, and we love having visitors come, which is awesome, but we just don't have a lot of people. And so when we start to think about where are people living in these larger urban areas, Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Stevens Point, these areas, if they don't have snow, then people aren't thinking about skiing. They're not going to buy a pair of skis, or they're not going to do an event. And so what we're really starting to see is cross-country skiing is growing in areas where there's infrastructure being placed for machine-made snow. So you look at Delafield in Milwaukee area where Lapham Peak is, or the new Nordic Center in Berrien, Wisconsin, or in Madison. These venues are really starting to do a lot of heavy lifting for people that want to ski because they have this machine-made snow that they're making out on the trails. And I think I often liken it, it's a lot to like trying to teach basketball, you know, and if the gym was only there every other week, well, not a lot of people would want to do it. And it's really hard to get kids engaged. So these snowmaking venues around the state and certainly the country are really starting to make a difference in where people are skiing and who we see out on the trails.
Well, that's interesting. We're talking with Ben Popp, who leads the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation, as we preview this year's American Birkebeiner and talk about cross-country skiing, the state of it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ben, what final preparations need to be completed before Berkey events unfold next month?
Well, you
This
know,
is
it's funny.
crunch time for you.
It really is. It's funny to say that, but you know, I mean, anytime you bring upwards of 45 to 50,000 people to a small community, I mean, you look at Hayward, 2,500 people, Cable, just over 300, you know, and now you're going to bring, you know, upwards again of nearly 50,000 people with spectators and skiers. The infrastructure there is just not there, right? The roads, housing, all those things. So a lot of temporary housing or a lot of temporary infrastructure goes into create an event like this. So it's everything from how do we provide aid and support for the skiers out on the trail to things that sometimes we can't control and we just hope, like crossing Lake Hayward, one of the last, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you start skiing in Cable, Wisconsin, you ski 35 miles through Bayfield County Forest and Sawyer County Forest and end up in Hayward. And the last thing you do is cross Lake Hayward, which is dammed up Nemecogon River. And, you know, of course, we get all this snow and it really acts like a big blanket on the lake. And so one of our biggest fears even already is what does lake ice look like on Lake Hayward? Because that is the last 2 miles that people ski into downtown Hayward to finish the event. So it certainly is a lot of trail preparations, all the way to things like when are the tents going to show up? And again, that temporary infrastructure that really helps host the world right here in northern Wisconsin.
How far do people stay, away from the race, in order to be able to be part of the atmosphere in the Berkey? I mean, where are people coming in from?
You know, that's a really great question. I mean, we see people chartering buses and groups from the Twin Cities. They say, oh, well, it's only 3 hours. Well, we might have to stay 3 hours away anyways. You know, we look at already a lot of foreign athletes that oftentimes register a little bit later, and now we're trying to help them find housing. It's amazing whether it's as far as Superior or Rice Lake or down towards Eau Claire, where you have, start to have some of these larger hotels and whatnot to really support that because, you know, you think about it, every resort, every small hotel, every Airbnb, you name it, is full typically from the year previous. People come, they do the event, they have a great time, they register, and then they sign or they re-up for their housing. And so it ends up that it really is a huge geographical area that people stay. And then more and more, we're finding, like you say, people staying at home and actually chartering buses or chamber of commerces. I know Rice Lake and some of the others do that. They'll actually come together, put all their hotel and say, hey, if you stay at a hotel in beautiful Rice Lake, Wisconsin, we can put you on a charter bus and get you up to the start of the Birkebeiner. So it really is not just a regional thing, but really becomes statewide when we start to look at the impact it has throughout the state.
Ben Popp leads the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation, getting us up to speed on the planning, the preparation for Berkey events set for next month. Join in with your Berkey experience, where you stay, how your family has interacted with this iconic Wisconsin ski race. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in on final preparations for the Berkey, North America's largest cross-country ski marathon, set for Saturday, February 25th. Join in with your Birkebeiner questions, reflections on skiing it in the past, how you prepared for the 50K for skate skiers, 55K for classic skiers, 800-642-1234. Ben Popp is executive director of the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation and stays with us. Ben, let's unpack some of these events. Coming up on January 21st, there's a Berkey tour that's open to the public. Can you tell us what this is?
Yeah, the Berkey Tour is kind of a fun event. It started about 15 years ago as a way to really get people out on the trail. It's an untimed event, and so it allows people to come up and ski on the trail. They put out the aid stations so that you can see what it's like to get some support on the trail. And it really, because it's untimed, it's not about go and how fast am I going to do it. It's really about participating with a group of people out enjoying skiing and being active. It really is a fun way to get introduced to me is to ski with a larger group of people and what is it like. And you know, one of the interesting things about skiing, if we look back at the SCORP data from the state, the data that we have to put together to get some from federal funding as a state, we look at everything from what activities do people do, and then we do it across against a bunch of variables like age, race, sex, income, rural, urban, those sorts of things. And interestingly enough, cross-country skiing was the most egalitarian activity. In other words, the activity that most did across all of those variables. And so we start to see skiing is actually done by a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons in the state. And so, you know, you have an event like the Berkemeiner where you come and you race fast and you try really hard, but then you start to see a lot of other events like the Berkey Tour or the Ski to She or some of these events that introduce people in different ways that want to do it for different reasons. And it's really kind of a fun thing to see.
I think that is an entree to the Para Berkey as well on February 22nd, the day before the Berkey. This is an adaptive event for skiers. Can you tell us about this race?
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing to see some of the para athletes. In fact, one of the para athletes used to be on our staff was just an amazing inspiration. I mean, we think it's hard enough to go out and ski able-bodied, and now to see somebody that's either in a sit ski or they have one arm or whatever their adaptation may be, it is amazing. And so there's a variety of lengths. They start in different places, but everybody finishes in downtown Hayward. And the amazing thing is there's even some of the para athletes that actually do the entire Birkebeiner as well. Now, fathom that, being in a sit ski and some of these huge hills and ups and downs and literally going 35 miles in a sit ski that's only double poling.
Wow.
And really hard. It's just phenomenal. So I would highly recommend, just amazingly inspiring athletes of all ages and abilities. So certainly a really fun entree to the whole weekend of skiing events.
And to kick it off, there's an open track event for skiers, and you call this a relaxed way to experience the track. And I was laughing because what does a relaxed approach to the course really mean?
Right, right. It's sort of, it's almost like we wish we had an e-bike for skis, but not quite that relaxed. It really, so it's similar to the tour in that instead of, you know, some people, they love the energy of standing next to 13,000 other skiers saying go, and you crash down the trail. And, you know, there's everything from snowmobile corner and people cheering as you crash to, you know, the 39K club. And it's really high energy. And so what the open track is, and it's modeled after a lot of our European races that the World Open have, that there's a day or two before that they call it an open track. And everything is exactly the same in terms of the course is set up. There's aid stations. But instead of having everybody say go and you go at the same time, there's actually a window that you're given to be able to leave. So from, let's say, 8 to 8:30 in the morning. So not everybody has to line up and right next to each other. It's really much more relaxed. So you still have to ski the same course. And there's a lot of the same support out there. But you can really do it on your own own time, if you will, in that it's not go now and finish then. It's really spread out and gives people a much more relaxed, if you will, quote unquote, relaxed feeling of skiing the trail, getting supported, but again, not having to have, you know, 13,000 other friends right next to you as you're trying to do it.
Sounds like a lot of these supporting events are also a gateway to whether you feel ready to do the Berkey, because it is a commitment.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're 100% correct. Now, every year we will get a few what we call cold turkey Berkeys. They'll show up from California, Missouri, Florida, and it literally be the first time they put skis on that year, if not sometimes ever. They've heard about it, they want to come. And so that's how we end up literally with people from every state. And but the other events, the people that take a little bit maybe smarter, we'll call it, approach to skiing the Berkey. These other events are really a great gateway to learn about the sport and practice. And interestingly enough, we have the Prince Hokan race, which is 15 kilometers, and the Coeur d'Alepet, which is 29. So they're on the same day, the day before of the Berkey. But what they do is a little bit shorter events. It allows people to get into it, start to learn some of the technique and the enjoyment of being out, but you not have to have that huge commitment. And the exciting part for us is that cross-country skiing for a long time in events has been it's been a male-dominated older demographic. So median age, 50, 51, 65 to 70% male. And what we're starting to see, especially in these gateway events, is 50% men and women, if not more women than men in some of the events, seeing that median age drop. And so for us, it's super exciting to start to see that we're getting more and more young people involved in the sport and/or people that that are new to it. So really exciting to see.
Ben Popp with us, Executive Director of the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation. You can join in on skiing, on whether you've done the Birkie, how you've prepared for it. What goes through your mind as you're out there on those trails? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ben, let's talk about your volunteer brigade, if you will. You know, how many volunteers do you need? What is that like to keep them? And what role do they have in putting on these events?
Well, it's really interesting that there's nearly 3,000 different volunteer positions that happen during that Birkie week. So even though the Birkie may have a staff of 30, you think, oh, wow, they're putting on an event. No, it's really the entire community that does it. And now to even take a step back further, if you remember when we opened, we were talking about there's 2,500 people in Hayward, another 300 plus in Cable. Well, that does not even alone add up to what it takes to put on the Birkie. So you really start to realize we have volunteers from all over the country. In fact, we have people that show up just like the Birkie skiers coming from. In fact, I was talking to somebody from Seattle just the other day. That is their Birkie experience. They come out, they volunteer all week, and they love it. They just really enjoy the energy, the excitement of helping these people accomplish this huge athletic endeavor. And so when we talk about the event and what it takes to put it on, it absolutely, there's just zero chance that it would happen without the entire community and volunteer base that shows up. And we have what we call these volunteer chiefs that have been involved for 15, 20, 30 plus years that come back year after year. And they're almost like a full-time staff position, believe it or not. Hmm. They take on huge amounts of responsibility. And it's everything from what does the start line look like to how does the finish to running these aid stations, where there's sometimes 60 or 70 volunteers. It's really like them orchestrating an entire, you know, the whole venue. And so it really would not happen if we did not have this huge support of not only the community, but the volunteer base as well.
I wonder about their communication system. Like, is it walkie-talkies or cell phone? What is reliable out there on the trails and supporting these skiers?
Well, that's another really good question that you bring up, because, you know, we're still working on better cell coverage up here. Certainly broadband has been an issue because a lot of the start and finish are connected with it, but not a lot of the intermediate areas. So while we do rely on some two-way communications, some cell coverage, because the other thing that happens is the cell phone might work great today, but suddenly you drop an extra 30 or 40,000 people. The cell networks just are not reliable any longer. They get overwhelmed and the communication really starts to struggle. So what ends up happening is medical brings in a whole separate system so that they can communicate on their own, which is really important, obviously, when things have to be communicated. And then certainly internally, it becomes unbelievably difficult, believe it or not. And a lot of times two-way communication ends up being the best with simple repeating radios and the like, because some of that other infrastructure that you think would work super well and might on a Wednesday in July isn't so reliable, again, when you bring so many people in. And we have a fair amount of preparatory meetings early on, even this period of time, so that ultimately those small groups are able to communicate. But it gets really difficult, believe it or not, once we get to Birkie week and things are rolling. And we often laugh that it's sort of like this huge snowball that starts rolling, and either you get out of the way or you get rolled over. And so it's certainly exciting to see it coming fast.
Also along those lines, in terms of technology and apps and tracking your racer on mobile devices through GPS, how has tracking technology changed, and how are we following these racers?
Yeah, it is pretty amazing, actually. Now with their chips and their bibs and the
chips
information.
Chips in the bibs. Okay.
I know. So they actually have little transponders that go in their bibs. And then all along the course, they have these mats that pick them up. And so you as a spectator, you're able to kind of follow where your little blue dot, your husband, your wife, your loved one, your friend is along the way. And so rather than having to stand out in the cold on Main Street for hours hoping they're going to get there, you can actually figure out when they're going to be there, which is kind of fun. And certainly, I think last year we had well over 100,000 people tracked around the world, tracking those different skiers. So it's sort of also a way that if you can't come to Northern Wisconsin or you can't watch the live stream, you can kind of see how your friends are doing out there. And certainly from a safety standpoint, has really brought an added bonus to the whole event.
And I'm sure that you're gearing up to mark 50 years next year. That must also be on your mind very quickly.
Big time, actually. It's really going to be a big celebration for us. We're really excited. It's gonna be really important to really highlight 50 years. The fact that Ernie St. Germain, one man, has still done every event will be a center point to that. He's an inspiration to so many in within our community, and it's going to be a big deal. We're excited.
Ben, all the best. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Ben Popp is Executive Director of the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.